sometimes we forget that truth that if he's for us, then what can really be against us? Sometimes life gets in the way and we get frustrated, and then all of a sudden something comes out of it and we realize that he's bigger than we thought he was, and that our trust is regained. And as humans, I know sometimes our trust is wavering at times, but God understands that. And if you guys know this song, please sing it out. Love that line in that song that says, "So I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation." You know, sometimes I'm sure he feels like that's what we're doing when we get on our knees and we try to negotiate with God. Well, if you do this, I'll do that. Or this is how I see it going. Can you make this happen? Right? And sometimes he must just laugh, I'm sure. But really, he just simply wants us to come to the altar, wherever that is for you. It could be here this morning if you need that. It can be in your seat. It can be in your room. But he just wants you to lay all your cares at his feet and simply just release them to him. And so let's sing this out. stand as we sing this last song? And proclaim that your desire is that he be the air that you breathe, that you're desperate for him, you're lost without him. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Welcome to church today. Neil usually leaves and then comes back second service, so he's messed me all up, but let's ignore him and talk about our pre-existing conditions. Okay, guys, we've been in this series where we've been talking about some of our heart issues. And you know, it's one of those times where we have a chance to either evaluate and check our lives and ask the Lord to continue to work on us, or it's an opportunity for you to become hard, isn't it? You know, it's interesting to me. I find that when I am refusing to listen to the Holy Spirit and to be obedient to his change that he's calling for in my life, I do. I find it hard to hear him because that disobedience now blocks him. And so I hope that you are always trying your best to learn. Hope always that you are trying your best to become more like Christ and the example that he gave us. And so we've been looking at these pre-existing conditions. And the first one we started with was guilt. This idea of I owe you. That feeling of heaviness that we get when guilt comes over us, and we're not made to live with guilt, we're made to deal with that guilt. And then last week, Kirtland addressed a big one of these pre-existing conditions. He talked about anger, and that made many of you angry, right? Which again, it was kind of one of those interesting times to evaluate. How do we settle that debt with others? How do we settle that debt with ourselves, right? Feeling most of us like we're owed something. How do we let that anger free so that it doesn't do any more damage? And he shared with us Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander among with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This idea that we were all sinners. And praise the Lord when you've been saved by grace. But don't forget your past. It'll come back to haunt you. And this week I want to look at another of our pre-existing conditions that, you know what, sometimes we have a hard time dealing with this one, but it's greed. This idea of I owe me, greed. And it's one of the things that I really hope that you will be open to this morning. Now, I wanted this kind of to be fun for the kids because I know we haven't been doing as much junior church and that sort of thing. And we're hoping to be able to start that up as the fall continues, as long as we're not shut down again. So you can see all the problems that COVID has brought. We don't always do movie clips, but this is one of my favorite movies. And this is one of my favorite movie clips, which explains a little bit about greed. Please watch this clip from Finding Nemo.
All right, Gerald, what is it? Fish got your tongue?
Love a duck! I gotta find my son Nemo!
Nemo? Hey, he's that fish, you know, the one we've been talking about, the one that's been fighting the whole ocean. Hey, I know where your son is. Huh? Hey, wait, they're coming back! Stop!
Keep going, he's crazy!
I got something to tell you!
Mine.
Okay, don't make any sudden moves. Hop inside my mouth if you want to live.
Hop in your mouth, huh? And how does that make me live?
Mine.
Because I can take you to your son.
Yeah, right.
No, I know your son. He's orange. He's got a gimpy fin on one side.
That's Nemo!
Fasten your seatbelts!
Mine? I remember the first time I watched that movie, and I laughed at that scene so much just because it is so representative of seagulls, aren't they? They're so greedy. This is kind of fun to do if you ever get a chance. Get some fries. Make sure your windshield is really, really clear. And throw out a fry or two in the parking lot. As the seagulls start to gather, throw one out on your dash inside the car and watch them slam into your window. Anyway, is that sadistic or what? But it's kind of fun to do. Anyway. Yeah, they were taping this for the podcast. That's great. Next week we have PETA out here with signs. Anyway, I do love seagulls. They're certainly not in danger, so please don't call or write because I probably won't listen. Anyway, isn't that so representative of our world? Right? Now, we laugh at that scene, but for the most part, in every community that I've ever visited, I see people with that kind of attitude. Mine? Everything that we feel we deserve should be ours. And you know, we always want more. And it's kind of interesting when we look at this warning that Jesus gives us on this very issue of greed. He says in Luke 12, verse 15, and then he said to them, watch out. Listen to this warning. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It's kind of interesting, and this is one of my favorite ones because Jesus cuts right to the heart of it. He says, be on guard against all kinds of greed, especially the accumulation of stuff. You know, and again, as a pastor, I guess I'm so surrounded by death that it seems like every month there's someone that I have to try to memorialize and send off to the next chapter of life, because we understand as believers that death is not the end. And yet, you know what? Every one of those people that I say farewell to, they leave every one of their earthly possessions behind. You know, and that's why in the church here, and I tell you guys all the time that we shouldn't be living just for tomorrow. We need to be living for the kingdom. We need to be living for eternity. And I ask you that question all of the time. How has eternity changed? Because you've been given an extra week on planet Earth. But too often we get focused on other things, and that greed seed is kind of within us. Before we know it, we've planted it, and it becomes this great big thing in our life. I remember my dad. I've only ever known my dad to own one new car. That was after he had a family. He had some pretty hot rides when he was younger. Didn't save any of them for his two sons, which we used to remind him of, right? Now he's gone to be with Jesus. He doesn't care, but we used to challenge him on that. The only new car that I remember my dad ever having was a 600 Chrysler. And if you know that car, it was not a prize, right? And I remember we brought it home from the dealership, and I was in my teens, and I looked at my dad, and I said, wow, first new car, how does it feel, Dad? He said, just a minute, I'll tell you. And he took the key, and he went on the door, and he just went, quack. I went, what did you do? He said, everybody worries about the first scratch. He said, son, now we don't have to worry about the first scratch. And away he went into work. I was amazed at that. Now, I always thought, was he really, really serious about that? Well, here was the lesson put into demonstration, that it was only about 3 months after my dad had bought that car, my brother was given that car to go in and pick up my mother at work on a snowy afternoon. And, of course, while he waited for her, he got bored. And so what did he do? He decided that he was going to do donuts in the new car in the slippery, snowy parking lot, until all of a sudden one of the poles magically jumped in his way and he crashed into that light pole, buckling the front end of my dad's brand new car. Of course, they limped the car home because he was there to pick up Mom. Very quiet drive, I hear. He got home and came in. I was working with my father in the shop, and all of a sudden my brother said, Dad, I've got something I got to tell you. And he said, tell me. He said, it'd be best if I show you. Please come with me. And I went, woo, this is going to get exciting. And out we marched to see a car that was in an awful mess. And in calmness, my dad said to my brother, you know what this means? My brother said, what? And he put out his hands. He said, give me my keys. And he gave him the keys. And he said, that's the last time you're ever going to borrow one of my cars. And he turned around and went back in the shop to work. Of course, I standed outside and said, please kill him, Dad. Kill him now. Right? And while my dad was making payments on that very brand new car, he worked nights for his friend to do a body job on it, trying to take it back to something of what it resembled before he had lent it to my brother. You know, it was amazing to me to see that example of someone who is not bound by stuff. That the love that he had for my brother, even in that moment, was way bigger than a car that they make every day. You see, greed is something that gets out of control. Greed is something that takes root. You want to prove this to yourself. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. Maybe some of you have done this. This is kind of sad. But even on Instagram, we want people to think that we have such a great life. We try to post all the best of it. And I found out a couple of years ago that there was people who were taking flights. No, they weren't. They were taking pictures of clouds through the Javex bottle handle so that they could put it up on Instagram saying, look it, I'm in a plane flying. I said, we are so twisted that we will try to represent a life that is not even our own. Another prime example of that was just a couple of years ago, they found out that Instagram in Russia was renting out picture time with private jets. Not that you would go anywhere, but you would take a picture with yourself beside the private jet, on the private jet. Even had actresses who would come as stewardess dressed up and pass you a Coke that you weren't allowed to drink because it wasn't part of the price. Take your picture, put it on Instagram, and go home that afternoon. Greed. And here's the problem with greed. It's twofold. One, it grows. One of Allison's favorite all-time shows is Hoarders. Have you ever seen that show? I'm totally joking. She cannot watch it. She can't get through it. And they go through these homes of people who cannot get rid of things, and it's a danger to the community. It's a danger to themselves because at any time, the pile of things that they've collected could fall on them. And it's interesting when they go in on the show, if they're allowed to help that person get some counsel and they're allowed to help that person clean out the trash that they've accumulated in their home, they always describe these incredible, awful smells that have been hidden and blocked and stacked on top of stuff, bug colonies that are infesting the home, and dead rodent carcasses that you couldn't see but you could smell. And Allison just cannot watch that show. And I go, you know what? It's, again, a testimony of greed, and it breaks my heart. Because when they're talking to those families, no one planned on being trapped in their very own home. But it's an example of the greed that we live with. And the second problem is not just that it grows, but it's also that you can hide it. You know, when they start off this show, there's so many people who all of a sudden you come to this house, the house looks normal, the yard looks normal, everything looks normal, until all of a sudden you try to push through the door and you can't see the room because there's just a little maze of stuff stacked through, because most times you can hide greed. Greed lies a little below the surface, right? And I want to ask you some questions this morning. Do you rejoice when others win? Think about that. When others win around you, do you rejoice or do you find yourself kind of secretly begrudging them? I used to see this sometimes when the mink sales would come up. When mink was such big money, and I'd go, praise the Lord. You know what? The mink is up, and it's blessing our community. And then I would hear a farmer grumbling, well, you know, they got 25 cents more pelt than I did. I'm going, praise Jesus. And they'd be like, why? I'm going, because they did well. And what should have been me? And I'm going, well, maybe you should look after your mink better. But this idea that we can't rejoice when others do well. Do you find yourself sometimes justifying extravagance? I see this sometimes too. Again, nobody is collecting for themselves. They're collecting to give their kids a better life than they had. Have you ever heard that one? It's interesting to me, but greed can be so subtle sometimes, and we make the mistake of thinking that we're immune to it. So let's do a few greed tests today. One of the easiest ones is finances. Let me ask you, and please, this is not a testimonial time. Hey, all of a sudden Larry stands up, and then I got to talk to him after about lying, right? Just kidding. So here's some tests when it comes to finances, because that's the one that's easy. Do you love to give? You know, are you a joyful giver? And you'd say, well, Andrew, of course I am. Okay, then let me qualify it by this. Do you practice the discipline of tithing? Oh, we're going to make it spiritual, are we? So glad I came to church today. Right? That's a simple question. How about this? Are you obedient when the Holy Spirit prompts you above and beyond your tithing to give an offering? Maybe he doesn't even talk to you about offerings because guess what? You're not even tithing. You'd say, I knew it, man. come to church, it's all about the money. No, it's not. I can count on my hand the times I've talked about money in 16 years of being here. And sadly, some will never get it, and that's between you and Jesus. It's not between me and you. But it's amazing to me. You see, we try to make money a very private thing, so then we don't have to talk about it, because then we don't have to feel bad. You want to get your backs up, just start talking about finances. And it's just interesting how much of it that we try to hide, right? And so let me ask you this then. Maybe you do give. Well, do you give with strings attached? In other words, do you give to get? This idea that your money is also a power grab. And I see this all the time in the church. The church is being run by a family who happens to give the most, so it seems that their opinion matters the most. However, the problem would be that they're not listening to God. And I've seen churches ruined. I've seen churches that never grow. Why? Because there's one family making all the choices because somebody gave them power. Why? All because of the dollar. At that point, I want to preach on the sidewalk. I really do. Right? I know that's been a frustrating thing for some, even in this church, that don't even come to this church anymore because they gave, they thought they had a lot of power, and they found out that I don't bow to the idols of money. We're doing fine. Sadly, I don't see those people anymore. You see, finances is one of those times where all of a sudden we get real quiet because we don't want people to know what's really in our heart. Because it makes us sad. And here's some myths about greed. It's kind of this. Well, Andrew, greed, it's always financial. No, it's not. Greed is not always financial. That's just one of the easiest qualifiers. That's just one of the easiest tests. But here's the reality of it. It's really a heart issue, isn't it? Greed is a heart issue, that pre-existing condition. And again, if you have an issue with this, this whole message is not to make you feel bad. It's to make you aware so that, you know what, you won't remain there. But finances is not the only test. Let me ask you a few other questions. Are you a poor loser? Oh, man. When does the Baptist service start today? Are you a poor loser? I see this all the time in sports, right? We often don't think about that one. But if you're a poor loser, guess what? That's linked to greed. Comes from the same root. I have to win! I have to win! Let's deflate those footballs. Go Patriots! Woo! Right? Anything that gives, you know, the Patriots kind of an advantage. Now, today is so amazing. Like, there are so many new quarterbacks at all different places around the world today that are going to be playing. So this is an exciting day. I'm wondering how Cam Newton is going to take Tom Brady's place. But I still want to see Tom Brady and Gronk do their thing over the Buccaneers. Right? So there's so much going on. But here's the interesting thing. How is my heart when my team loses? Do I say horrible, awful things to Jack? Yes, I do. Not this season, because we're both Patriots fans, but he likes the Montreal Canadiens, and I'm still praying that his soul will be saved by Jesus. Isn't it funny how all of a sudden we have this competitive streak? And this is something that the Lord had to talk to me in my as a young man. Here was the deal. I had played very competitive hockey on very good teams that were known all around Ontario and Canada. And so all of a sudden, when I felt like, you know what, my shoulders were done, my body needed to heal, I'll go to Kingswood University, a Bible college, Bethany Bible College, for a year so that I can heal up, so that I can do what I was called to do, which was play hockey for the Lord. I go there for a year, and I'm playing on their kind of little tiny league that they had associated with the school, and they all said, "This is a ministry." And I'm going, "This isn't a ministry, this is hockey. We're going out there. We will win," right? So I go out, and all of a sudden, I'm being the Andrew that I was taught to be, this competitive guy, this guy who had to win. And my first fight, while I'm being taken to the penalty box, and I'm steaming, wanting to kill the whole entire other team because all of my goal was to win, I sat in the penalty box, and for the first moment, I felt shame. I said, "Is this about ministry? I went, Lord, how can hockey be about ministry? And the Lord was saying, your whole life should be about ministry, stupid. And so 2 minutes in the penalty box, and I'm having this great big theological argument with God saying, but it's hockey, God. I know how to win. That's my puck. And he's going, no, that puck is for everyone. You know what happened? I took a year off from playing the sport that I loved so much and prayed only that God would use it for his glory. And the team was so mad at me. And then that next year, I came back loving the game, but more importantly, loving others. And I didn't have to win. I wanted people to see Jesus in me. I dealt with the greed problem. I dealt with the need to win, the need to keep score. Do you keep score? And maybe it's not in sports. Maybe you keep score to your spouse. All the things she's done wrong. Don't worry, you've got a list. It's right here. Let me read through it for you. Right? And if you're anything like Larry, it's not just one list. He's got volumes stored away. You say, anybody listening to the podcast, Larry knows I'm going to do this, so just don't send your letters. I'm not going to read them. Or Larry and I may read them and laugh, but anyway. You see that myth that it's always financial, it's not. And here's another myth about greed, that it's, oh, if you succeed, right? If you succeed, then it'll cure it. No. That's a myth. Oh, if I can only just have the cottage on the lake with the boat and it's all paid for, Lord, then I'm done. Woo! I will have arrived. No. When you succeed, it never cures this greed seed. Why? Because greed is never satisfied. And greed just doesn't come to the successful. Greed also comes to the poor. Well, one of the greatest examples, and you guys have heard this illustration before, Howard Hughes, who was the richest man the world had ever known in his day, drove him mad. And he was being interviewed before madness had sunk in. And they said, Mr. Hughes, you're the richest man the world has ever known. And he said, yes, I am. And the big question was, Mr. Hughes, my big question is this, how much is enough? And his infamous answer was, just a little more. Just a little more. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know there's been money that I've refused on behalf of the church? You'd say, what? Board wants to have a meeting after service now. But if somebody is going to give begrudgingly, I don't want it because you're not giving in joy. If someone's going to give with strings attached, we don't want it because there's only one who is leading this ship and it sure ain't me. Luke 12:33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. In other words, are you investing in heaven or are you investing in me? And I'm not saying Andrew. That was rhetorical. You're supposed to ask, are you investing in me, myself? That was you asking the question. Malachi, or to drive some of my old professors nuts, Malachi 3:10 says this, bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provision in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. And yet there's people who don't practice the principle of tithing. It blows my mind. Since I was 16 years old, I have never been without because I've always made sure that I gave God what was his. If you can't testify to that, we can't have that conversation because you've never tested it. Wow. Come to church today. You guys better not call the second service and warn them. Right? Guys, don't go to church today. Go to Dairy Queen. It's way too hard. Right? Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak doesn't say help the lazy. Again, I want qualifiers here. Help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So here's the biblical principle, to be a good steward of God's blessing. But here is man's twist. God is longing to bless me. Ooh, that I could get more. See the difference in the two? Jesus says, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And here's the truth. Being greedy has to be exhausting. If your work is truly never done and you are truly never satisfied, then being greedy has to be exhausting. What a heavy load to carry. And what terrible theology. If we're going to look at this through the eyes of believers, let's get right down to the theology of it. If you are greedy, you believe one of two things. It's my only explanation. Either you believe that God can't take care of you. Think about how twisted that is. You believe that God can't take care of you, so you take him off the throne of your life and you place yourself there so you can look after what God can't. That is twisted. That is scary. Wow. But so often we don't think about these things. So either you believe that or you believe that God won't take care of you. And you better take care of yourself, which both of them tell me you have no understanding of who God is. Matthew 6, 31 to 32. Don't worry and say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Philippians 4, 19. And my God will fully supply. Wow, that really changes it. See how words are important? Philippians 4, 19. And my God will fully supply your every need according to his glorious riches in the Messiah Jesus. Matthew 7, 11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask? Again, we know these verses. My question is do we live by them? You know, one of my heroes, again, John Wesley, the fellow that our whole denomination was named after, he had this principle that every New Year, at the beginning of the New Year, this goes to tell you how long ago it was because there was no holidays on New Year's. Every New Year, he would go to the bank and withdraw everything he had, and he would give it to the poor. And he would start fresh every New Year. We go, that's crazy. No, that's trust. Woo. Now, if God's telling you to do that, check for ID. Make sure it's him. But isn't that incredible faith? Jesus says, be on guard. And let's look at that whole passage, Luke 12. I just read a portion of it, but I want to read from 15 to 21 because he has this incredible illustration. He says, okay, Jesus says, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. And then he told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. That whole passage is a request to mankind not to be greedy, but to be a blessing. And what have we done? We build storage sheds. That's our society. If we haven't got room, we'll rent some space. Don't worry about it. And what's kind of scary is we look at this parable. The man already had enough for himself. That's what the purpose of his existing barns were, that he would have enough to store all that he needed. But here was the problem. he had more than would fit in the barns. And so his solution was, this is more than I need. However, let's just tear down the barns. Let's hoard it all. Mine.
Mine.
Here's what I don't want us to miss, church, this morning. I'm almost done. I know I've gone a little bit longer, but this is one of those ones that I don't talk about often, so I might as well get all my axes ground at the same time. And next week, we won't be talking about this at all, so please come back to church. Don't miss it. Here it is. Blessings exist to be a blessing. You know, I could preach this same message in every church around the world, and most need to hear it. Blessings exist to be a blessing. I will store my surplus grain. I will take like life easy. I will eat and drink and be merry. Make no mistake, God wants us to work hard and not be lazy. As if we're working unto the Lord, right? There it goes. I mean, there's a lot of verses about this idea that if you won't provide for your very family through your hard labor, then you're worse than a sinner. So he says, don't be lazy. God wants us to work hard, but God also wants us to be generous. The blessings exist to be a blessing. Jesus wants us to be rich in kingdom things, to be rich in ministry, to be rich in giving and sharing and loving and leading. You see, God is not into building bigger barns because he knows that the castles we build upon the sand are way, way dangerous. 1 Chronicles 29:11. We're going to finish with this. This is this proclamation. I love it. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and everything in earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. And you're exalted as head over all. So again, everybody bow your heads in closing. Whether you give or not really is irrelevant to me. And I'm not talking about tithes or offerings, although I'm not excluding them. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about mercy. I'm talking about grace. I'm talking about all of these things. If you don't give, that's between you and the Lord. But I do want you to answer these. Do you give God your best, or do you just give him what's left? Do you manage his gifts wisely, or are you seeking bigger barns? Are you an individual that's driven to win, or are you doing all that you can to bring God fame? Do you begrudge others when they win, or do you lift them up and celebrate them? Do you give with strings attached, or do you give in joy? Because Jesus said, watch out and be on guard. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. Oh, that we would invest in the kingdom. For that is the investment that never ends. Let's pray before Jack falls asleep. Lord, I want to say thank you for your love. I want to say thank you that I could pick on Jack instead of Larry. Lord, I pray that you'd bring a counselor Larry's way so that his self-esteem would be great after today. Lord, I'm so glad that we can laugh. I'm so glad that we can come to you and we can talk about serious things. Lord, this issue of greed... I owe me. That is how we are designed. It's a pre-existing condition that unless we deal with it, it will ruin us and everything that we try to hold will be a mess. Lord, I have never met a greedy person who is happy. Never. Ah, Father God, I pray that you would wipe it from this place. That when people think of this church, that greed would be far from us. That they'd see all the beautiful joy and the celebration of helping others. And Father God, I want to say thank you for this bunch again, Lord. For 16 years, we have been doing amazing things in your name, only because you've provided. But Lord, it took obedience, and I want to say thank you for my brothers and sisters who stood beside me to bring fame to you. Father God, let us not grow weary in doing good, and let us not stop ever until the trumpet sounds. We pray all these things in the incredible name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.